Joining me next, the co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, one of the first websites I go to every morning, and also GOP strategist, Matt Mikowiak. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chad. Doing great. How about you?
Doing great. Thanks for coming on today. Of course, it's a very busy day, one of those days where we will continuously hear stories throughout the day about the looming shutdown. What is your take on this? Do you think that it is basically a done deal, that there will be a shutdown, or could we see something that hits at about, 11:45 p.m. Washington time, where a deal is finally struck?
I think it's going forward. I mean, at least until, you know, midnight. I don't think we're going to have a shutdown for very long, just because, you know, there's going to be a little bit of hysteria over it, even though the dislocation that comes, the disruption that comes with it is somewhat manageable. You know, I'm just not sure that anyone benefits, but at this point, I don't see a path forward. You know, the Senate didn't feel pressure from the House passing its own bill. I mean, the Senate, you know, was in recess yesterday, and they're not coming in today until 2 p.m., which is really kind of amazing. You know, we have to shut down the government. They're not coming in for taking the day off the day before the government shuts down. So I just don't see a path forward at the moment. You know, there's a couple things they're trying to get done as sort of wins for the GOP. You know, one is this repeal on the medical device tax. Another is this so-called Vitter Amendment, which is would basically remove the exemption that members of Congress and their staff have to Obamacare. I think, you know, Eric Erickson had something up this morning on Red State, just saying that he thinks that those are such, you know, minor and marginal aspects to this, that he thinks that, you know, he hopes that that's not what the end game is. He hopes that it is something bigger. So the GOP is trying to delay it for a year, the individual mandate. We'll see if that comes together. But I'm not sure that I see what the path is to the end game here. So I think it might be a few days.
And so we're looking at, you think we're looking at just a few days shutdown instead of what we saw back in the 90s, which was, what, about 3 weeks worth of a shutdown, and that that did cause a little bit of disruption during that time, but you know it wasn't terrible. It didn't shut down. It didn't hurt the economy during that time. But you're thinking just a few days on this.
That's my thought. I mean, I think that when it shuts down for a very small number of people, it really impacts them.
Yeah.
For most people, it may impact them a little bit, but it doesn't impact them a lot. And then for another group of people, they don't even know the government shutdown. You know, maybe they kind of know it, but it doesn't impact them at all. So it really depends a lot on your situation. If you're on Social Security, yeah, you may not get your check for a few days. If you're in the military, the Senate didn't pass the House bill to pay the troops, even if we shut down, so you may not get paid for a few days. So it's just one of those things where, you know, the post office will be closed, the parks will be closed, you know, federal government offices will be closed. There's some aspects of this that are, you know, a little bit worrisome. On the other hand, there's also some things that continue even if the government does shut down. TSA continues at the airports, obviously. That, you know, essential personnel at major agencies, in terms of national security, continue. There's sort of some essential things that continue, but I'm just not sure, again, kind of where they're headed from here, and they're going to have to negotiate to some degree.
Yeah.
And really, the bigger thing here, Chad, is to step back and say, what's the end game on the debt limit? The debt limit is three weeks from now, and that's a whole lot bigger than the federal government shutting down, because we really cannot not raise the debt limit. I think the president understands that, but so far he said he won't negotiate there either. So you have kind of both. You know, you have Republicans negotiating with themselves, Democrats not offering anything, and the White House saying we're not going to negotiate at all. Somebody's got to meet in the middle somewhere, and I think that'll probably happen in a few days. But again, I don't know what the end game is right now, and I don't think anyone else does either.
Do you think that there might be deals at least being talked about behind the scenes when it comes to the debt limit and this? You know, hey, when it comes to debt limit time, you guys vote this way, and we'll do this as far as a continuing resolution goes. Do you think these two are having an impact on each other that way?
I don't think they have so far. I think that the shutdown issue has been consumed almost exclusively by the defund Obamacare effort. I think, you know, if with every day that passes that you get closer to that debt limit day, which I believe is October 17th, it might be off by a couple of days, but it's around then. With every day that passes, you're getting closer to that, right? And Republicans early on were trying to basically pass a CR that would fund government for 3 or 4 weeks because they wanted to have the debt limit and the shutdown, the CR essentially align. They thought that would increase their own leverage. So again, with every day that passes, you get closer to debt limit becomes a bigger issue. But you know what's interesting here is that you know there's a sense, and Senator Cruz has said this often. He thinks that President Obama's wanted the shutdown because you know it'll hurt Republicans and it may you know for Democrats make them more competitive to take the House back, which is what the White House wants in 2014. You know, my sense is that's unlikely, but. But that's, I think, what they're going for, and so you know, everybody wants to win, wants to get a win out of this. But what the thing you got to remember is, and this is really the key thing, Speaker Boehner understands that he's got to pass something that a majority of his conference can support. It's called the Hastert Rule. He knows if he violates it on this, he's going to be in deep, deep, deep trouble. There's going to be a revolt in the House. And so Harry Reid talks about what he will and won't do, and the White House says they won't negotiate. But at the end of the day, we still have a majority of Republicans in the House of Representatives, and a majority of them have to support whatever the ultimate deal is. So Republicans have to have a win here on the shutdown, or this thing's going to continue.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP strategist, co-founder, mustreadtexas.com. Your thoughts on John Cornyn. There have been, as you know, there's been a lot of discussion back and forth about John Cornyn, Ted Cruz. You know, there were reports that John Cornyn was whipping votes against Ted Cruz and what Ted Cruz was going to do. What do you think this means as far as John Cornyn goes going forward? Do you think that people will start turning on Cornyn as far as voters go? Do you think this makes a candidate out there really, really spring up and a grassroots candidate spring up? And, you know, should there be one?
Well, that's the question. You know, the question is, does this generate a primary where it appeared Cornyn was unlikely to have one? You're seeing a draft Lee Gohmert effort on Facebook online. I still think that's highly unlikely for a number of reasons. Gohmert's already said he's not running. He's someone who you know really needs the security that comes with the paycheck a congressman makes in terms of his own personal financial situation. He's got a safe House district. I don't think he could probably put the kind of effort together that would be necessary to make a competitive you know primary against Cornyn. But I think it's clear that Senator Cornyn's going to be under some pressure here for a little while. Now this is going to blow over at some point here. And there may be still some residual frustration among some very, very strong conservatives in the state and Tea Party folks. But, you know, look, Cornyn has a different perspective than Cruz does. Cornyn's a member of leadership. Cornyn was the NRSC, the Senate Campaign Committee chairman for 2 cycles. He cares a lot about winning the majority, and he felt, I think, like this Cruz strategy was likely to hurt Republicans in 2014. And so from his standpoint, you know, he didn't think that supporting Cruz was the right thing to do for the party, which means he doesn't think it was the right thing to do for the country. And so you have to respect that he withstood the pressure that he was getting from a lot of folks. It would have been very easy for him to follow Ted Cruz on this.
Yeah.
You know, there was really no cost to doing that, except he thought it was the wrong thing to do, and he stood up.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak. Matt, what can people find this week on mustreadtexas.com? I assume a lot of Wendy Davis news on there today.
Yeah, it's a big week for Wendy. You know, she's making her announcement at 3 p.m. In Fort Worth on Thursday, and it certainly seems clear she's running for governor. And so you're seeing a lot of glowing coverage about her nationally, but also in Texas. And so that's really the big thing to watch this week, mustreadtexas.com. Folks can sign up for the morning email.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a good one. It's Matt Mikowiak, mustreadtexas.com. We'll go ahead and we'll take the break. We'll be right back.